Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text on this, the resurrection of our Lord, is taken from the gospel lesson with special emphasis on the following words: do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our crucified and risen Lord, gravity is a force that makes things fall. Throw a ball up in the air and it will come down every time. Such is the force of natural gravity on earth. Likewise, ever since humanity entered the realm of the evil one, every hope of ascension has been brought down into despair by the gravity of our sin. We are all forced into the black hole of a grave as the vault that encloses each of our caskets is sealed. You ever watch them do that? I happen to see it quite often since I attend a lot of funerals. But it's like, that's it, sealed into that dark place. The grave of death is like what scientists call a black hole, an area of such immense gravity that nothing, not even light, can escape from it. So it is that the gravity of our sin, it forces us into the black hole of death. When Jesus entered the realm of the evil one, though, when he entered here, when he who had no sin became sin for us, the dark one, the evil one, thought that he had put out the light of the world. For a day or so, it looked that way. A cold, lifeless body was laid, sealed, in the vault of a tomb, with a guard stationed next to it for good measure. There was never a darkness, a black hole as deep as that as Good Friday. God himself put down into the black hole of sin and death. And yet, there was also never a light so bright as on that morning when the light came out of darkness, when Jesus came out of that black hole of his tomb, alive and well with witnesses. There was witness after witness after witness. We heard in the epistle lesson 500 at one time. Just think of how that must have made an impact on those 500 people. How many people did they tell? And all within that time frame, eyewitnesses of his resurrection as he came out of the tomb. So it was with Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, as they arrived at Jesus' tomb. They, along with others, verified that the tomb was empty. Jesus, God himself in the flesh, had triumphed gloriously over sin and death. He defied the gravity of sin and the grave of death. And the resurrected Lord, well, he's still doing that today. Jesus defies the gravity of your sin and the grave of your death right here and right now. You know, I talked about this Jesus, how he defies the darkness of sin and death back on Christmas Day. Anybody remember? Don't answer that. But I wanted to bring it up here today as a bookend. I thought of that on Christmas Day. Do you remember how we heard from John, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it? He came to that which was his own, and his own didn't receive him. Well, what have we been doing since then? Through his word, he's been unpacking who he is and what he does, who God is, and what he does, and why he came into this mass grave of a world. He came to open heaven to us, He came to give us a whole new life with him and one another. And not just for a little while, but to have an eternity together in the glory of God. Christ is risen. Well, Jesus actually did defy sin and death with witnesses. We foolishly think that we can too, that we don't need God, that we don't need him to overcome sin and death. The latest Tower of Babel, Tower of Confusion, comes to us from transhumanism. The idea that we can tap into forces beyond us and create our own little utopia, that we can actually overcome sin and death in and of ourselves. That's out there. It's kind of like creating our own gods. And yet that brings us right back to paganism, doesn't it? Paganism. But it's paganism with a little different twist. Oh, we don't talk about Zeus or Athena or the pagan gods anymore. We see them as forces to tap into. So therapeutic deism is what many Christians do. They think, well, God's just there as a force to tap into when I need him. Other than that, you know, stay away. I don't want you. I don't want you anywhere near me. We see that in the Wiccan, right? The witches. There's even some so-called Christian churches who have witches. Witches, what do? Well, they tap into the forces and then have those forces align with what's in their individual psychological heart. That's where we're at in this post-Christian world, if you will. We are living in a time when it is widely accepted that human beings can be fixed, just like cars, planes, or computers. Now, to be sure, we've had incredible technological advances. I mean, my goodness, all you can do is go like, wow. Right? To what we're able to do. I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't even have microwaves yet. I know I don't look that old, but it's true. We did have phones. But isn't it amazing what we can do now with those phones that have so much power in them that it used to take a city block to have that kind of power? But our technological advances have made us somewhat arrogant, haven't they? There's an arrogance about us. I think of AI, artificial intelligence, and that is amazing. That is incredible. What that can do, how that can just pick up all of this data and organize that data and bring that data into real and living ways in our world, and it really is a great technological advance. But I got news for you. It's nothing when it comes to the human body. It's a drop in the ocean. I mentioned this once before, but it baffles me more than our technology. Are you ready? Every human being has 100 trillion cells. That's trillion with a T. Just wanted to check if you're listening. And then most of those cells, almost all of them, have a nucleus. And in that nucleus, there's billions of strands storing data and information. Billions upon billions with a B. And we had nothing to do with gathering that information. It didn't just evolve. It was something that came as a result of the intelligence of God. By the way, they don't call it AE, artificial evolution. They call it artificial intelligence. Well, God is the one who is wisdom, wisdom on high. And his wisdom is orderly, not chaotic. His wisdom is not meaningless, but full of meaning and purpose, which means this: you have meaning and purpose. You were created not in your own image, but in the image of God. And that's an incredible thing, to be a human being. Now, the bad part is we're fallen human beings, but to be a human being, that is incredible, unbelievable almost. Now, I want you to think about this as well. That it is accepted now that not only can we change our bodies and limbs and organs like we change damaged parts of an electronic or mechanical device, we can also choose what we ourselves want to be. We can change our identities, supposedly. Just tap into and control those outside forces, and you can become someone different. The word of the day, or the word of the zeitgeist of 2024, is reimagine. I can reimagine myself. Well, in doing that, you deny the image of God. We don't reimagine who we are. God created you, and He created you wondrously and gloriously. Are you created? Of course it's gone bad because of sin, but our Lord came into this world to shine light in the darkness, to make it good again. And that's what He's about. That's what He's doing. But in the contemporary imagination, human beings themselves are reduced to actually automons. Autonomy, right? We want to be autonomous, right? Automons. And yet, if we are all just meat robots, then what? Then there is no heart, no conscience, no soul, no image of God. As a result of this way of thinking, wow, what happens? Everything that makes us human is left out of consideration. But that makes us not post-human, but inhuman. Inhuman. And that puts us in a deep, dark hole of sin and death. Don't believe me? A young mom was followed into Walmart locally. I won't tell you who it was, but got the information about that and was scared because someone pulled up in a van to follow them. Followed them into the store, the family, and followed them out. Thankfully, calling her dad and then calling the police. They came and nothing happened. But the police said to her that this is a problem. It's about sex trafficking, stealing our children. See how we're back in paganism? This is no different than Rome was, where everyone was inhumane toward someone who they didn't know, as if the other people were not human beings through for whom Christ has suffered and died. So what does that leave us with this kind of paganism, right? It's the oppressed and the oppressor. So if you're the oppressor, we got to get rid of you. No forgiveness for you. But look what our Lord did coming into this world of the oppressed and the oppressors. He became oppressed for us, that we might be set free from sin and death. All of us, both the oppressors, and there's times when we're that, and the oppressed, and there's times when we're that, to set us free from the whole nine yards. Now the way of the world, it's alarming, isn't it? The inhumanity of all of us, it's alarming. That's true. It really is. But as the women on that first Easter morning entered Jesus' tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe. And what were they? They were alarmed. But this was an angel of the personal God who created you in His image. This wasn't an impersonal force that this angel was working for. This Jesus knows you by name, calls you by name, and has come to set you free. So the angel says, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where He laid Him. He is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see Him just as He told you. Well, none of them went to Galilee, as He told them, because they didn't believe He rose from the dead. They just didn't. None of them did. And so what did our Lord do? He made a lot of unscheduled appearances. And this angel is basically saying, He'll leave the light on for you. You can go here, and this is where you will find light, forgiveness, and peace with God and one another. Well, He's still doing that today. Here you will see Him, He promises, just as He told you. By the Holy Spirit at work through His Word. With the water and Word, He makes us children of God. Right, Kaylee? Kaylee, the newest member of the family of God. The newest one who Jesus took up residence with and promises never to leave her, never to forsake her, to keep her in the light of life with Him and one another. And if you're going after, you know, other things in this dark world and you keep trying to throw the ball up only to see it fall down into despair, we'll leave the light on for you here. And we'll body and blood you together with Jesus and with one another in the certain hope of life together with him and one another that never ends. The entire globe is a mass grave, isn't it? A deep black hole of sin and death. The stone is very great, meant that the woman couldn't move it. But it also means this: no one can, not us. The black hole of sin and death cannot be overcome by us. But everything changes in Jesus. Everything. Jesus, God himself in the flesh, triumphed gloriously over sin and death in his death and resurrection. He defied the gravity of your sin and the grave of your death. The resurrected Lord is still doing that today as he defies the gravity of your sin and the grave of your death by forgiving your sin and putting his life that conquers death into yours. The light of the world has scattered your darkness, and it is here in his church. And he'll leave the light on for you, for all of you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.